Welcome to On the Air with Accounting Today. I'm Dan Hood. You know, the accounting profession is moving beyond the days when a firm's growth could be left in the hands of a rainmaker or two. Now it's a team sport, and firms need to build up their bench strength to pursue it. Here to talk about how to create a team of transformational growth leaders is Gail Crosley, one of the foremost consultants on growth for accountants in the country. Gail, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here again.
Excellent. Let's dive right in. What's driving the shift in how growth is creating and who's driving it at firms?
Oh, lots of factors, probably not the least of which is a lot of our rainmakers are retiring. And then that wouldn't be the only case if, in fact, they were training people to come up behind them that could use the same methodology that they did. But they can't, because back in the day, we were a new market, an early market, and it was banker breakfast, lawyer lunch, all comers, we're right. Generalists. And it was a very individual contribution game. But now, because we're in a mature market, it's more sophisticated, there's more competition. As a result, those banker breakfast, lawyer lunch approaches don't work so well anymore in the new era. And as a result, we have this shift between what was and what worked then right. to what is and what works now.
Gotcha. Well, one of the differences, and the reason I've been talking about it, as I mentioned that it's calling it a team sport, is that there is definitely a difference between sort of that individual pursuit that the rainmakers used to just go off and drive business and they did it on their own. And now it's going to require more leadership. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the difference between leading growth at a firm as opposed to just going out and getting new clients.
Yes. So leading growth means that you are driving it like a business unit and you're thinking of it in that way. And even if you're a team of one and your industry or service line is, only you, it's the way that you think about it, which is that instead of going out and individually just landing a piece of business one client at a time, that you are thinking of it in terms of a leader-driven, team-based, and think of a president of a business unit who's driving a business unit of a company. Mm-hmm. And what that approach that business unit leader uses. And it's a more strategic, where are we going in the future, not only just what we're landing today, and becomes one of pulling a team together. Maybe it's just them, or maybe it's a few people, or a lot of people, but doing it in a coordinated fashion where you're driving chunks of markets rather than just pieces of business.
Gotcha. Maybe we talk about for these new growth leaders, the type of growth, they're pursuing changed? Are they simply trying to be more efficient at it, better at it? You talked about the growing competition and the need for sophistication. Is there also differences in how they're pursuing it?
Yes, the type of growth is specialist growth, not generalist growth. And in a specialist growth market, you're driving industries and you're driving service lines. And you're not just going out and saying, well, who has a pulse and a fat wallet? and let me have lunch with my local banker and see if he's got any business for me today.
Right.
So it truly is your objective is to own markets at a time and not just own one client at a time. And so that's the major difference between the two.
Gotcha. All right. So we've talked about the difference, the need for, the failure of earlier generations of rainmakers maybe to train new growth leaders and the need for training these growth leaders. Let's start with, how do you identify someone who's going to be a great growth leader?
Aha. Interestingly, the skill set is somewhat different from a master rainmaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you're leading growth, you are able to step up to leadership behaviors and things like delegation and follow-up and utilizing others and communicating and so forth. And you are able to think strategically or learn to think strategically. So you're not just thinking about today's piece of business, but you're thinking about the future.
Right.
And you're very analytical in terms of a process orientation to it, pipeline management, and those sorts of things. So it's not just good communication skills. And the real aha moment for a lot of my clients is that if they have a strong strategy that they've developed, that carries less than A+ rainmaking.
Gotcha. All right.
Mm-hmm. It's like a train with an
right.
engine, and the engine is the strategy, and then all the cars are the rainmakers or lack thereof.
Right.
But if you have a really strong strategy that you've discovered, then the strategy carries all the rainmakers, be they good
gotcha.
Or not so good.
Gotcha. All right. But it's interesting. It's that goes to that I keep using the team sport metaphor, but I mean that's the leadership skills needed really are often rainmakers are sort of lone wolves. They go off and they mm-hmm. do their thing. They bring the business back, and everybody else then serves it. But that need to be within the practice, within the strategy of the firm, but also leading people, that's an interesting set of skills. Now, how much of a, and again, I'm going to just keep pursuing that team sport metaphor, but just
sure. uh-huh.
How much of a team do we need a growth leaders at a firm to be, literally? I mean, when we talk, do they really need to be working together on a regular basis, or how does that play out?
Okay, so just to put some meat on the bones here of the sports analogy,
right.
Think individual contribution in years past were golfers. They were golfing. When you're a golfer, you can go out and play the course. And I'm a golfer. I love it. And I play the course often by myself. So I don't need any team around me. And it's all up to me
right.
and my skill set and how good a golfer am I.
Right.
But when you are playing in this arena, it's football. Yeah. It's a football team. And what happens is that the growth leaders are the coaches on the sidelines. They're the ones that are driving the team and directing the team and so forth. So as a result, what they need to do is collaborate and communicate with each other. When you think about the offensive and defensive coaches, they're not just off in their own worlds by themselves. They're collaborating, and the head coach has all the various coaches collaborating. And it's similar to how industry and service line leaders need to collaborate to find their strategy and execute against it.
All right. Well, let's think about the team that they're building, right? We're talking about the leaders, the people who need to lead growth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going back to that, it's always easy to compare what was to what we're trying to build now. What was the individual rainmaker. They didn't really have a lot of support. They didn't have a team underneath them. They weren't working with people. They were out on their own. Like we said, they were at the lunches and the breakfasts and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're building that team, who do you want on your team? Is it everybody in the firm, or do you want to build a core of people? And what are those people? What skills should they have?
Got it. So the first thing is, and this is for very small firms or very, very large firms, and the managing partner needs to have the lineup of industry leaders and service line leaders.
Right.
That's the foundation. And have them with specific roles, and their roles are they are responsible for the strategic direction and the financial health of that particular chunk of revenue of the firm, either a chunk of audit revenue, a chunk of real estate revenue. And once that is established and they discover their strategy, then what happens is they can populate their teams with people, other partners, or all the way down the food chain in the firm. But the establishment of that, the first lieutenants, I'll call them, that the managing partner has and their collaborative working relationship, especially today with technology, is absolutely critical to the sophistication needed to lead growth, not
gotcha.
Just do it.
Gotcha. And then, like you said, if they're building their team, they can at that point, then they can look at who's on their team already in terms of in the mm-hmm. practice area and say, well, you're good at this and you're not so good at meeting new people, but you're great at,
You can develop all those skill sets on the teams. And it is it's a marriage of what the firm needs and the passion that an individual person has.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. Broadly speaking, anything else, but any other things we should be thinking about in terms of growth, that this need for people to lead growth intentionally and in this new model?
Yes. Probably the largest aha moment for me was that although I have been transforming and helping firms transforming through this transformation from individual contribution and tactical and generalist to leader-driven, team-based, strategic, and specialist. That's the transformation for years. Now, with technology upon us, what happens is it's very difficult of the six technologies that are out there to figure out which technologies in which industries are going to be the ones that have the greatest market potential if you don't have this framework.
Right.
Because otherwise you're just flailing around all over the place and you focus on technical readiness in these six technologies and then you look around one day and go, well, wait a minute, who wants to buy this stuff? So if you have the framework, and I call it the rows and the columns on a big spreadsheet in the sky called revenue segmentation,
right.
You know, the rows are the service lines and the columns are the industries, and those hot spots that are the intersections between them are where the market is going to take you and you're going to have great success.
Right.
But you can only do that if you know you're playing football, not golf,
right.
And you know that the roles of these segment leaders are strategic direction and financial health. That's the framework needed, and then the technology will layer on top of it, and you'll be headed in a good direction.
Gotcha. Well, all broadly speaking, and this seems to happen in a lot of different areas of accounting these days, but it's that this move away from a casual approach to things. There was sort of like we said, he goes out to the breakfasts and the lunches, or she goes golfing with clients and prospects, and that's how we get new business. And it's moving to a much more sort of sophisticated, but also intentional and purpose-driven and structured approach to growth.
Absolutely, because the market is too mature and too complex for you to be casual about it. And we can't scale our profession on everybody being an A-plus rainmaker. There aren't enough of them.
Right.
They have these special skills that most of the other accountants around do not have. And you can't pin your hopes on driving and scaling something on, such a small quantity of people who just,
They're hard to find, right? Better off to find a new approach than try to rely on somebody who's, you can't be guaranteed that you'll actually be able to find them.
I learned this at IBM. At IBM, we had a really strong strategy. We didn't have the best sales force. I was in it. I wasn't the best salesperson. They taught me how to sell.
Right.
They taught all of us how to sell. And the reality was that they knew something back then that we are now realizing today, which is they built a strong strategy because they had to scale so quickly to drive demand in this incredible new era of computers back in the day. And as a result of that, they broke the code, and that's what we're breaking right now.
Gotcha. That brings up, I'm just going to throw this out or ask you about it, because you reminded me of a thing that people have been talking about somewhat fairly frequently. We talk to firms, realize the number of people at firms who don't know what the firm does or what the firm's strategy is, at any level, broadly, at the high level of firm or individual practice areas, a sort of lack of communication between management and staff in terms of this is what we do, like I said, both at a high level and at an individual practice level. And it seems like one of the first things everybody needs to do if they're going to pursue growth is make sure that everybody in the firm knows, A, what their strategy is at whatever level they need to know, but also knows everything that the firm does and is ready to talk about it just at a basic level. Sort of if somebody asks you at a cocktail party, hey, does your firm do X? You need to be able to say yes, and here's who you should talk to about it. That kind of basic blocking and tackling. Are you seeing firms getting better at that? Am I wrong in the sense that they're not communicating that well?
Communication is not one of the strong suits of our profession, and it's because not that we can't do it, it's just that it's one of those things where we haven't built the muscle.
Right.
And there are quite a few things that we have not built the muscle in. That's one of them. Collaboration, communication, initiation, just raw initiating activity is required when you're out there driving demand and driving growth. And if your whole mindset is that I don't initiate, the calendar initiates for me through deadlines, we have a lot of deadline-driven people that never were required to do that. And so there's a whole new set of skills right now that are going to be very important for the future, and communication is one of the big ones, along with some of these others.
All right. There's a lot to do. There's a lot.
Oh, my gosh. We are going through, it's interesting that technology, the thunderbolt, I'll call it, that's shaken up our profession. On the surface, it is technology, but when you dig down a little bit, there are so many pieces of it that are transformational in terms of skill sets, and not just technical skill sets, other things that are going to need to be done. So yeah, you're right. It's a lot to do, and it's a great, exciting time to be in this profession.
Excellent. All right, well, let's leave it on a positive note. It is an exciting time. There's a lot of work to be done, but there's a lot of opportunities, right? And when the work is done,
oh my gosh,
you're going to start realizing tremendous,
tremendous
opportunities for clients, serving your clients better. Bigger bottom lines, all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. And for people who are passionate about the business of accounting, it is just such a wonderful time to be here because we can do so much that is energy building and large contributions that were not necessarily able to be made when we had such a predictable environment.
Right.
We've got a great time right now.
Awesome. I'm going to leave it on that. Gail, thanks for joining us.
All right. Great. Thank you, Dan. Great to be here.
And thank you all for listening.
Look for new episodes of On the Air with Accounting Today every Monday at accountingtoday.com or subscribe to us on Google Play or iTunes. And if there's a topic you'd like us to explore, let us know by emailing actoday@sourcemedia.com.